Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Now, sometimes that scripture verse is taken a little bit out of context, because we sometimes think that that verse is for people that don't know Jesus. And Jesus is knocking on the door of their hearts and saying, will you let me in? And so we can think, well, that's for the unbeliever. But actually, the context of this scripture is not to the unbeliever, it's to the believer. It's found in Revelation chapter 3, in the passage of scripture where John is recounting his encounter with Jesus, his revelations that he has. And he encounters Jesus, and he encounters angels, and he's given messages to deliver to each of seven churches. One of those churches is the church in Laodicea. And this is part of the message that is to be delivered to that church. And there is Jesus knocking on the door, because the church in Laodicea, according to Jesus, it had become cold. It had become lukewarm, actually. It was no longer passionate about Jesus. They'd become lukewarm. And the message to them was, repent and turn back to Jesus. Repent and turn back to him. And you know, however much we might be walking with God, and I love the worship this morning, you know, worship in a church is often a measure of how passionate people are for Jesus. Because when we love Jesus, when we recognize who he is, we want to worship him with the whole of our hearts and the whole of our beings. But however close we think we are to Jesus, you know, none of us is perfect. If we think that we're there, if we think that we've got all of God that we could possibly need, then we're deceiving ourselves. Because each and every one of us needs fresh encounter with God in our lives so that we stay fresh and in touch with him. And that's why the church leadership at this time have said, church, let's have a time when we pursue God afresh, when we decide in our hearts that we're going to let Jesus in. We're going to open the door of our hearts and we're going to say, Jesus, come in afresh and realign our hearts with you. And what Jesus, and in this scripture, what Jesus, what's the word? It's like an allegory. What Jesus says that is like opening the door and Jesus will come and eat with us and we will eat with him. And he doesn't mean physically eating. He doesn't mean eating bread and cheese and roast beef or noodles and sushi or whatever your favorite dinner is. He means come and feast on the Word of God. Come and feast on his presence. Now, I don't know about you, but I know in a culture that loves to eat, there's certain messages that come. I know people in this room, you love to have family and friends gather together and eat together. This church community loves to gather together and eat together. What message does that give the people that gather together? What it says is, all my busy life, I'm going to leave over there and I'm going to spend some quality time with the people I love. That's what it says. And it says, anyone who sits down at my meal table, I accept you and I love you. You're valuable to me. You are more valuable to me than the busy list of tasks that I've got to do. I want to spend time with you. I want to spend time eating with you. And so when Jesus says, I want to come in and eat with you, he is saying, you are the most valuable thing. I just want to spend time with you. I love you. I accept you. I want to be with you. But you know, for us, when we say to him, come in, I want to eat with you, we're saying, Jesus, you are the most important thing to me. You are more important than my work. You are more important than my leisure. You are more important than my food, even. You are the most important. Spending time eating together. And that got me thinking, what happens when we choose to dine with Jesus? It's an invitation to dine with Jesus. And what happens when we choose to dine with him? If I can have the next slide. Oh, it did work. Fantastic. What happens when you choose to sit down and dine with Jesus? And I looked in the Bible for stories and illustrations where Jesus sat down and ate with people. Luke chapter 22 is the story of Jesus sitting down with his disciples. It's just before the crucifixion. He goes to be, he's arrested and crucified, and he sits down and he has that Passover meal with his disciples. And one thing that happens during that meal is that he makes the declaration that someone in the room is going to betray him. Now, he doesn't do that to embarrass Judas. He doesn't actually say who the person is. But sometimes when we sit down with Jesus, sometimes when we get close to Jesus, one of the things he does is he speaks to our hearts about the things that are not right in our hearts, the things that are not right. And in order that, not so that he can beat us up or tell us off, but so that we could do something to put it right. And we know Jesus didn't make that decision. But one of the things that can happen when we sit down with Jesus is he can expose things in our hearts that he needs to change. Let's move on to John chapter 21. This does jump around a bit. It's not all in the correct order. But John chapter 1 is the story of Peter. Remember Peter? Peter was the disciple who loved Jesus with all of his heart. But when it came to it, he denied Jesus. He was the disciple that Jesus said to him, when the cock crows, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. And Peter said, no, never, never, never will I do that. He thought he was so sold out for Jesus, he would never do that. But he did do it. He did do it. How wretched must he have felt to have failed his Jesus so much. And in John 21, after Jesus has risen from the dead, he appears to the disciples and he lights a fire on the beach and he says, bring your fish, we're going to have a barbecue. And they sit down together and they eat the fish together. And in that time, in that gathering place, Jesus spoke to Peter. And Jesus basically let Peter know, it's okay. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. And not only are you forgiven, I've got a new work for you to do. I want you to go and feed my sheep. I want you to go and feed my lambs. I've got a new thing for you to do. So another thing that happens when we sit down and we eat with Jesus, when we feast and spend time with Jesus, is sometimes he just comes along and he deals those things in our hearts that maybe we still feel guilty about. And he just says, do you know what? You're forgiven. Believe me when I say you're forgiven, says Jesus. because I did it all. And not only are you forgiven, I'm going to give you a new task to do. So sometimes when we spend extra time in prayer, extra time in the presence of God, he will come and he will give you a new direction. He will come and he'll give you a new place that he wants you to go. And the certainty that you are loved and the certainty that you're forgiven. Matthew 14, anybody know what we find in Matthew 14? Multiplication is the clue. And a meal where there is multiplication. Thank you, Mabel. 5 loaves, 3 fish. What happened? Sorry, 2 fish. It's multiplying already. 5 loaves, 2 fish, and a little boy's supper. And he gave it to Jesus. And Jesus did a miracle, didn't he? And he fed multitudes of other people. Sometimes when we sit down with a meal with Jesus, we spend more time with him in his presence. And we give him the little bit that we've got. He takes it and he multiplies it. And he enables us to feed many, many other people at the same time. He does miraculous things in and through us because we choose to have a meal with him. Absolutely amazing. Luke 24. And I've forgotten what that was now. I'm going to have to look it up quickly. Revelation. Revelation. Luke, I remember what this one is. Luke 24. The road to Emmaus. The road to Emmaus. After Jesus' resurrection. Two of his disciples are traveling on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus comes and he walks with them, but they don't recognize him. They don't know who he is. But they sit down. They have a meal with him. And as he breaks the bread, their eyes are opened and they see who he really is. It was in those place of mealtime that Jesus gave revelation of who he was. That he exposed sin. That he gave redirection. That he provided for multitudes, for miracles. He opened eyes to see more than they'd seen before. And I had to put this one in. And it's not a Jesus one, but I had to put it in because when we're talking about prayer and fasting, it's really important. Psalm 23 has that line in it. And I love this line. I'm just looking it up so I get it right. Okay. It says in verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Have you ever thought about what that really means? Because we all have battles in life, don't we? We all have battles in life. We all have things that cause us some anxiety until we learn to overcome in prayer and often in fasting. But in this moment, here Jesus is saying, in the middle of your battle, I have prepared a table for you. I have prepared a place for you to come and feast on all the good things that are in him. And we, no matter what's going on around, there is a place for us to still come and feed on Jesus at the table that he has laid out for you. He has never left you in a battle where he hasn't put a table that you can meet with him at. there is always a place for you to come and meet with Jesus at his table in the midst of any battle. So that is what happens. Some of the things, I'm sure there are many, many other things that happen when we choose to take time to dine with Jesus, or put it another way, give him more time in prayer and in. Now you might say, well, why are we talking about food when you said we were going to talk about fasting? And I think it's because there's an interesting correlation here, okay? This is what the Bible says to me happens when you choose to sit down for a meal with Jesus. So why am I talking about eating with him when I'm also talking about fasting? So we'll move on to that. Okay, first of all, why fast? Why do we fast? So fasting is when we deny ourselves something in order to spend more time in prayer and in the Word of God. And that fasting is very often to do with food. Typically, people may fast food, but not everybody can fast food. If you have a medical condition, that may not be something you can do, but you may choose to fast watching television or doing your favorite a leisure activity or anything that the Lord has begun, that maybe has begun to take priority in your life over time with God. Because when you fast, what you're saying to God is, I sacrifice this because I want to spend more time with you. So recently, the Lord spoke to me about how much time I was playing a game on my phone. I don't think I'm the only one in the room who, when you get a little bit bored at home, see, I made a decision not to watch much television because there's so much unhelpful stuff on television. I decided I'm not watching television anymore. But then in the evening, what am I going to do? And I picked up my phone and I played on my phone. And God said to me, I just knew. He spoke in my heart. He said, why are you spending so much time doing something that doesn't edify you? Doing something that doesn't build you up? And it took me a while because I was a little bit addicted. I kept thinking, I know I've got to give it up. I know I've got to give it up. And I didn't do it straight away. And then one day I said, God, I know I've got to give it up. Will you help me? And from that day, I stopped. And it was a season. I haven't kept it up entirely. God's still working on me. None of us is perfect. But he's asking us, what in this season, what will you lay down in order to put him first? What will you lay down in order to prioritize Jesus in your life? So Jesus fasted. The first thing he did after his baptism, he was led by the Spirit into the desert, and he fasted for 40 days. I'm not recommending that people here fast for 40 days unless God tells you to. He does tell some people to do that, but I'm not advocating it to you. What we have to do is ask God, how long and how? And I'll come onto that in a little while. But Jesus fasted, and because he fasted in the desert, when the enemy came to him and said to him, you're so hungry, aren't you? Why don't you turn that stone into bread? He knew the word of God. He combated that temptation by repeating back the word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And when I'm fasting from food, I remember that scripture because the enemy comes along and he whispers in my ear and says, you're really hungry, aren't you? You don't have to fast, really. You don't have to skip that meal. You don't have to. And I have to remember that verse and I have to say, no, I don't live by bread alone. I live by the word of God. So we don't just skip a meal, we go to our Bibles and we read the Word of God, we study the Word of God, we pray, we talk to God. We give him the time that we're of the meal that we were skipping. We were fasting. So Jesus fasted. And Jesus also taught that we should fast. Now the Jewish people had patterns and rhythms of fasting. And what Jesus was concerned about was that people didn't fast because they had a religious duty to do so. Jesus wasn't into people doing things out of religious duty. Jesus wants our hearts to be alive in him. And he wants to touch our hearts and deal with our hearts. So we don't fast because the church leader says we're fasting this month and therefore you must do what we say. I hope we're not like that. But we fast because Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart saying, will you come and spend time with me? Will you come and eat with me and feast on me rather than on the food that this world offers? The food that might be physical food or it might be other things that we do just to try and satisfy our hunger. Because God's put a hunger in every one of us for him. But we can dull that hunger by spending time doing other things that just draw us away from him. God wants to reignite that hunger. And I promise you that if you choose to fast and pray, God will ignite your hunger for him. Because that's what he does when we make those decisions. He begins to work by his Spirit to increase that hunger. We reprioritize God in our life. We say, you know, when I fast sometimes and I start wanting to eat, the other thing that I say to myself sometimes is, no, I want God more than I want that apple crumble or that pot of noodles or whatever it is. Whatever it is that you begin to think, I don't want to give up food. I want to eat that. No, I want Jesus more than I want anything this world has to offer. And if you're not in that place, God will ask him to work that into your heart as you pray and you fast this next month. Because that is what he loves to do. So I'm just going to give a few little more tips about praying and fasting. I don't know whether people in this congregation are used to fasting, whether you do it habitually or whether it's a new thing for you. And there will be a whole mix. If it's new for you, I would say don't start too big. Just decide in your heart what would be right for you. It might be you decide you're going to skip one meal every day. It might be that you decide you're going to skip a meal the whole day once a week. It might be that you're going to stop watching television or playing on your Xbox or your phone or whatever. You can ask God what he would have you do. Remembering that whatever you do, it's going to help you. God's not being mean. He's going to ask you for something that will help you draw closer to him and feast on him and be with him. So start small. I would usually recommend that you stick to drinking fluids, because that's really dangerous if you don't. So that's just for those that have never done it before. Just a few things. We've talked about the top three on that list. I've said it already. Use the time that you would have done eating or whatever the other activity was. Use that time to pray and to read the Word of God. Use that time to worship. I mean, the worship this morning touched my heart in a way that my heart hasn't been touched for a while. And as we worship God, we make room for God. So maybe put on some worship music. Use that time. Turn your thoughts to Jesus. and listen to God's voice. Remember, he stands at the door and knocks. He who hears his voice, he is calling out to you all the time. He is saying to you, I love you. Come and draw near to me. Come and be with me. I've got things I want to show you. I've got provision I want to give you. I've got so much I want to share with you. Hear his voice and open the door and dine with him. Feast on him. Remember, it's not about the religious act of fasting. It's about letting God speak to your heart. And you know, we do it individually, don't we? But actually, if we all do it at the same time, God looks and he sees a group of people, a body of believers in him, with hearts turned to him, hearts open to him, hearts longing for him. He is going to come and visit us in a fresh way. He won't be able to resist a church that says, Lord, we love you and we want more of you. Come and be with us. And I'm going to take us now back to slide 2. If we can go back to slide 2. You see, all the benefits that we get of eating and meeting with Jesus over a meal are exactly the same benefits we get of laying down the physical meal, of choosing to fast, whatever it is. He meets us in those ways. I just found that lovely. He meets us, he's inviting us to a meal with him at the same time as he's inviting us to skip some meals in order to give him that time. It's a beautiful image. And he promises that he will meet with you, that he will speak with us, and he will change us. He will change us from the inside out. It's our choice. We don't have to join in. And you may have medical reasons why not to fast food, and that's fine. But ask him, is there something in my life that has become more important than you, God? So that I can lay it down for a season and let you be the number one. Let you come in. Let you have your way. And that is my word for this morning.
Thank you, Sue. This is a very refreshing. And you know, to me, maybe to most Hong Kong brothers and sisters, we may not have experience in fasting. And I think this, from Lord, to the church, to you and me, to pick it up again.